Go ahead, open to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Our weekend meeting is over the premise of men not to imitate. And if I had to make a guess, I'd say that who I'm going to speak about this evening, probably only about half of you would know who I'm talking about at first recollection. That may be because I did a Saturday evening Bible study on him. That would be Uzziah. So the setting behind this is going to be that we are in the divided kingdom. Israel is not far from being taken into captivity. Neil talked yesterday about the fact that they were a wicked nation. Judah is on their roller coaster ride of kings, good and bad. And so here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we find Uzziah. It says in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to that all that his father Amaziah had done, and he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Man not to imitate. Let's keep that in the back of our mind. That's interesting. So let's proceed on. So verse 6, it says, now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gebal and the Midianites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, where he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and he hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by division according to the number of their muster. Verse 12, the total number of the heads of the households of the valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So it's interesting that this would be somebody we talk about this morning as a man not to imitate. It says in verse 3, I mean in verse 4, he did right in the sight of the Lord. It said he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. As long as he sought the Lord. What's verse 16 say? But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. So he was proud. Now, if you look up the Hebrew word here, it literally meant, or you can see, if you look over, mine has a reference out to the side, it says literally lifted up. That Hebrew word also means to soar, to be lofty, or to be haughty. Yeah. If you look up pride or proud, I've looked it up on dictionary.com, it says a deep pleasure or satisfaction, especially proud of a particular quality or skill, exaggerated self-esteem. So he was proud. He had pride. But is pride a bad thing? And we tend to think that maybe it has a bad connotation. But we have pride in our kids, don't we? Pride in the work that we do at our jobs. We have school pride. You know, those of you who are younger, who are in school, you have pride in what you do, where you go to school, that sort of stuff. Pride is not inherently bad. If you flip over to 2 Chronicles 17... one of these good kings that Judah had. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3, it said, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days and did not seek the Baals, but sought God, the God of his father, followed his commandments, and did not act as Israel did. Verse 6, he took great pride in the ways of the Lord and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. Pride is not a bad thing, inherently. But there is bad pride. We mentioned in the definition of pride or being proud, that is the exaggerated self-esteem. Being haughty. Exalting yourself above all else. In verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26, it said his heart was so proud. So proud that he acted corruptly. So how did we get here? How did Uzziah get to this point? It's interesting, when I was doing this research, I taught on the minor prophets, and so this history to me is kind of how I came upon Uzziah a while back. When we studied the minor prophets, you get a concept of how the books are written by who, and we don't know exactly who wrote this, but in the time frame, this was, from what I could tell, written towards the end of the time that the Israelites were in captivity. What I find interesting here is that this writer is looking back on the times of the kings of Judah and the way he phrased this. So we know, based on verse 5, that as long as he sought the Lord God, Uzziah sought the Lord God, that God was going to prosper him. But if you look through these verses again, it says in verse 6, now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall. You go over to verse 9, it says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem. In verse 10, he built towers in the wilderness. He hewed many cisterns. You look over at verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle. You look over at verse 14, moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army, shields, spears, all this body armor. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war. He had them invented and he had them installed. You look back on that, and I guess when I'm looking at this context, you know, this was written by somebody in kind of an after-the-fact sort of deal, but you look back on it, and if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, they've got some really great, kind of grandiose battle scenes there where, you know, you look out and you'll see this field of battle, and you've got armies on both sides, and they're in pristine armor. And you look up to this grandiose city that's built into this mountain, and you've got all these engines of war. You've got catapults, you've got crossbows, this towers everywhere, fortified, defended. They make it out to be this huge, grand ordeal. And you notice here that as you read these verses, the way the writer put it, it was Uzziah, 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 Uzziah. He did mention God, and I left those verses out, but he didn't pair them together. It was Uzziah by God's will, because Uzziah had an obedient faith. But as you look at those things, I find it interesting that that's the way they phrased it, because then what did it lead to? His heart was so proud. Uzziah could have been sitting there going, look what I did. Look at all that I've accomplished. Look at the armies that I have. How about a boost to his ego? Look at verse 8. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, not to God. This is the nation that God has set apart. It's his nation through which all men will be blessed. But they don't give recognition to God. These other nations give recognition to Uzziah. His fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Go over to verse 15. It says, hence his fame spread afar. Based on what happened, it didn't seem like Uzziah, or he lost sight of the fact that God provided him these things because of his obedient faith. He was so proud. Kind of erased God from his memory. So, what I find interesting also about this, you know, you can look back over when he took God out of the equation, what happened? You go back to chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles. His father, Amaziah, God prospered in these things. God gave these things to Uzziah because he was obedient to him. Amaziah, his father, gets ready to go to war in chapter 25, and he's hiring, I think, 1,000 warriors from Israel, and God says, no, don't take them into battle. Just take your men. And he does. And in verse 13 it says, but the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities and plundered. You get into verse 14. It says, now after Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he had conquered the Edomites. He brought the gods of the sons of Seir, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. God the Father, Jehovah, was the one who prospered Amaziah because he was obedient to his will. He turned them back, and just God's people, the nation of Judah, went to war. And what did Amaziah do? He brought the gods of Seir, the ones that just defeated, and he bowed down to him. So verse 15 says, then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? Amaziah lost the sight of the fact that what he had accomplished was from God. It was because of God, because of his obedient faith. God blessed him. This nation of people was set apart. This nation of people and their prosperity, their victories in battle and everything was going to confirm that Jehovah God was and is the one true and living God. It was confirmation that if you were obedient and you obeyed, this nation did that, that he would rule, that they would always prosper. They were blessed. I think about Neil's lesson yesterday, you know, was it 850, I think, prophets were praying to the Baals, nothing happened. Elijah, one man, flame came down, took up the sacrifice and scorched the stones. It's because of God. It's that they've accomplished these things, they've achieved these things, and what did Uzziah do? He over-exaggerated himself. He made himself to be more important than he was. He forgot about God and the fact that this is God who blessed him. I also find it interesting, again, written in the time of captivity, you flip over to the very last chapter of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36, how easy it is for God's people to forget about him in a time where God prospers them. But you flip over to chapter 36 and verse 22. This is in the time of captivity. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of earth, and he has appointed me to build him a home in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Cyrus, who wasn't a part of these people, realized that God had provided him with all these things. He was a king, he was a ruler of nations, but he also recognized that he was not the Almighty, he was not all-powerful, that he had been blessed in that way. It's funny to me that it took someone who was not of their nation, not of God's chosen people, to be able to see that when you go back and look through the records of all these bad kings of Israel and of Judah. So what happened? Let's look back at chapter 26. So what happened to Uzziah? So verse 16 again says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. But Uzziah, with the censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get him out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over that king's house, judging the people of the land. So what happened? this pride, he was so prideful that it corrupted him and he became unfaithful to the Lord. Because of that, he was struck with leprosy, an outward sign of his pride. He was marked. And then more than that, he lost his kingdom. And it says in verse 21 that he was cut off from the house of the Lord. This being so proud, forgetting who has provided us with our blessings, him forgetting who provided him with his blessings, look what it caught him. So application. I've gone back and forth, but there's so many different applications you can bring out from a lesson such as this. We need to be careful that we don't let pride corrupt us. We need to remember that all our blessings, physical, mental, and material, come from God. That He is the one who's blessed us. Yeah, it may be that it was Melissa and I who built the house, that we have the possessions that we do, that we try to take care of ourselves so our health is good, and we try to work on staying active mentally continuing education and stuff like that, trying to improve ourselves that way. But it was God who gave us the abilities. It's God who gives us the opportunities, and it's God who's given us the health and possessions that we have through these things. Our blessings are from God. So we need to remember that. But more importantly, what happened with Uzziah? His heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord. When he got to a point where he was exalting himself and over-exaggerating his self-worth, he disregarded what God's authority is. His pride caused him to disobey God's law, which I think is something that we should be very, very careful of. Our possessions don't come from us, but more importantly, our spiritual blessings don't come from us and can never be attained by us without God. His pride got him so far that it caused him to go into the temple, caused him to try to disregard God's law and offer incense, which wasn't his responsibility, wasn't his duty. As a king, he should have known that. But he had exalted himself, thought, look well all of what I've done. And so what did he do? He disregarded God's law because of this self-worth, this self-importance that he gave him. And so how does that apply to us today? We need to be very careful of that as well. Having pride, like Jehoshaphat did, having pride in the Lord God and His works and what we're able to accomplish is fine. But let's make sure we're always giving all glory to God. It's by His grace, it's by His mercy, and it's by His love and Christ's sacrifice that we have a hope of eternal life. Look over to Ephesians chapter 2. Contrary to what many in this world or of other denominations will teach or say, I cannot attain heaven without God. It's not by my will. And let me put it that way. They may say that, oh yes, we need God to get to heaven, but it's by His will. It's by His word, by His commandments that we get there. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Greatest command, love your God with all your heart. We need to obey His commands. But it's only by His unmerited favor that we have these spiritual blessings. It's only by that unmerited favor that we can attain heaven. But it's also through our obedient faith. That's what it says here. It's by grace you have been saved through your faith. That's an obedient faith. We can go to Hebrews and see that. So what kind of faith do we have? Are we faithful enough to obey God's word? Or do we continue to try to exalt ourselves and do what we want to do? You look in the world today and people want to do it their way. I'm going to obey God's will, but I'm going to do it my way through the type of worship service that I feel is the best, by attending services when I feel like it's right instead of coming on Sunday to observe the Lord's Supper, which we're commanded to do. I'm going to pick and choose out of the Bible what I choose to believe and what I don't choose to believe. Oh, homosexuality is okay. Everybody, God is love and He loves everybody, so it's just health and wealth gospel. We don't need to do what God tells us to. I think I know what's best. God loves everybody, so I'm going to do how I want to do it. What have I done? I've exalted myself above the Lord Almighty. I've over-exaggerated my worth. It's through God is through His blessings. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's talk about these blessings for a second. If you've been through, well, if you've been here, you'll know that we do marking. Grant goes through and does a lot of marking with everybody. So I'm going to read these through chapter 1, the blessings that we have in Christ. It says in verse 4 that He chose us, and we would be holy and blameless. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. He made known to us the mystery of His will. We have obtained an inheritance. Verse 11, you were sealed in Him. These are the blessings we have as long as we obey Him. We won't have them without Him, and we won't have them without obeying His commandments. You see that throughout the denominational world, that's not what they do. So we need to be very, very careful as we go about our daily lives. Having pride in something's fine, but we should always have pride in God and His Word. We need to be very careful that we don't try to walk to our own beat. We don't try to exalt ourselves and do what we want to do. We give God the glory. That we don't let this pride and this self-worth and this over-exaggeration of ourselves, this exaltation that we can give ourselves from time to time, we don't let that cloud our judgment. God is the one true and living God. He is the Almighty. And He can humble us. We should have that attitude of humbleness and humility. Because if we don't, we don't have a hope of heaven. And that's going to be a hard way to learn it. We're not going to have leprosy sprout up on us. We're not going to be cut off from the physical house of God. But we're not going to enjoy those spiritual blessings. So, if you take one thing from this lesson, be careful. Because pride does corrupt. And it brings about unfaithfulness. And so I present those thoughts to you for this morning. You would stand and sing.